This tape is part of an oral history taping series sponsored by the Colorado Endowment for the Humanities project called The Wet Mountain Valley, A Gold Mine of History. The interviewer is Irene Francis, project director, and Jackie Valentine Stopey, who is a reporter for the Wet Mountain Tribune. The person who is being interviewed is Rex Clift, R-E-X, C-L-I-F-T. The date is December 3rd, 1990.
Talk loud.
Yeah, I'll start out the interview by asking you, Rex, when you were born.
November the 12th, 1904.
And were you born in Rosita?
Uh-huh.
Did you have a midwife or a doctor that helped deliver?
Just a midwife.
Did your mother ever tell you her name?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know what her first name was. Grandma James was all she ever went by. I don't know what her name was.
And did she live in Rosita?
She lived in Rosita. She just lived maybe 100 yards from my folks when I was born.
Okay. Now, were your folks living at the old homestead?
No, they was living right up there in Rosita. They used to call it Hungry Gulch. And up the past where that hobby lives, you know, going up that, not going out of Rosita, but the one that goes up around that way.
Oh, the one near the schoolhouse, where the schoolhouse used to be?
Jail? Yeah, and up past where the schoolhouse used to be, and right on up around, clear around the bend there.
And that's where your folks live?
That's where my folks live, uh-huh. Where I was born.
What did your dad do?
Worked in mines then.
What mine did he work in?
Oh, he worked in the Bassett mine at Tarita, and then he worked at I forget the names of all these dang mines
mm-hmm.
around here, but he worked at several of the mines around here, but most of the time he was working at the Bassett mill over in Tarita. But that was after I was born. They moved to Tarita.
Most of the people from Rosita moved to Tarita then.
Yeah.
I'm going to go.
Because when they struck that Bassett mine, Tarita really just come alive.
Uh-huh. And what did your dad do in the mine?
Oh, he just done just everything there was. Drill holes and shoot.
Shoot the dynamite?
Shoot dynamite, yeah. And then load the cars and push them out. Of course, that in the Bassett, they had shaft, and then they run drifts off out in different directions, following the vein, you know.
Uh-huh.
And they'd load their car up and bring it out and put it on the cage, and then they'd hoist it up.
How old were you when they moved to Tarita?
I don't know.
Were you, did you go to school in Tarita?
Oh, yeah, I went to school in Tarita through the third grade, I guess.
You know any of your teachers?
Yes, I had a. There was an A.C. Dixon that used to live in Westcliff. He was a teacher there one time, and then, gosh dang, I can't think of that one old guy. And that was something. He'd go to sleep in school.
And the teacher would.
The teacher would. And that school was just spitballs all over the ceiling and everywhere. And when they'd get tired shooting that way, some of the bigger boys would pop him and bring him. I think he was on dope, probably. I don't know.
Oh.
But he'd go to sleep, and we'd just have a big time.
Where did he? Did he stay at one of the homes, or did he have his own house there?
No, he boarded with somebody there in town, but I don't remember now who it was.
Uh-huh. Well, did you learn anything?
Not a whole lot.
How to shoot spitballs.
Just learned how to be ornery, I guess.
Then did you go to school in Rosita at all?
No. My younger brother went to school in Rosita, but I never did.
Uh-huh. You remember?
After we got I was in the fourth grade when the folks started moving the canyon in the wintertime and putting us in school down there at Canyon. And up here, we always went to summer school because the roads were bad and all. You couldn't go anywhere in wintertime. So we had summer school all the time.
What's that?
Over in the park.
Up there in Junkins.
Junkins Park.
Yeah, yeah. We walked to school.
My dad helped build that school.
In Junkins.
The old school still sits there, the building.
Uh-huh.
And we used to walk from the ranch over there to school. Now they won't let a kid walk a quarter of a mile. She even takes her kid a quarter of a mile to...
Yeah. Is that the school that's on Margaret Hobby's place? That used to be on Margaret Hobby's place?
Yeah.
Who was your teacher there?
Oh, we had a Bert Mank. Was one time, and then... I forget what that old guy's name was. By George, I wish I did remember it. But he had the stinkinest dang feet you ever heard tell of.
Would he take his shoes off?
Huh?
No, you could smell them through
his shoes. He didn't have to take his shoes off. And Millard Hobby was one of the honorist ones, and he used to chew tobacco. And I don't know what Millard done, but anyhow, why can't I think of that guy's name? And he had a little old desk, you know, about this wide, little old square deal that he put his feet under, you know, and sat there on that desk. So he put Mildred under that then desk there, and then he put her foot on each side of him. And Lord, you could smell his feet all over the place. And so Mildred, he took him a chew of tobacco, and he just spit all over his feet.
Kids on the other side see what's happening. So,
it was mostly men teachers that you had in the school.
Just about half and half. We was honorary devils in school.
What grade did you go to?
Well, I was in the third and fourth grade.
And then you moved to Canyon?
Then we moved to Canyon, yeah.
And how high in education did you go?
Through the eighth grade.
And then you...
Quit. I was smart enough.
There you go. Did you do ranch work from then on?
Huh?
Did you do ranch work from then on?
Well, I've done a little of everything. I was a brick mason or rock mason for 1 year, and I worked in one time when they reopened the Bassick over here, I worked there, and I worked at the Elsie mine in Elsie. And
did you know Mr. Sparling?
Sparling, yeah.
Mm-hmm. That's Betty Munson's father.
Yeah. And I just been a kind of a jack of all trades. And then I went to raising sheep in 1929, and I've been at it ever since.
How big of a herd do you have?
Well, we've only got
64.
64. We used to run around 1,100 head. I've got a picture of sheep coming up the hard scrabble down there that I'd like awful well to get blown up.
That's
where they graveled it. I mean, before they paved it and it was all gravel.
We need to get that.
It's something.
Right.
I guess there's over 2,000 head in the bunch coming up there.
Oh.
And it shows the old sheep herder and his dog behind them.
Now, who is that sheep herder? Was that?
Dick Borges. He used to live in Silvercliff.
And where were you taking the sheep?
We were bringing them up here, and then we took them on up. We used to run the sheep up there on North and South Colonies.
There was a time when you could run sheep up into the timbers, wasn't there?
Well, you had to be above the timber line with the sheep.
Above timber line.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, now they can't do that because that's all government land.
It was government land then.
And they would allow you to do that?
Oh, yeah. We had a permit for that, and we had to go in when a certain time and come out at a certain time. But
was this in the summer you would take them up there?
Oh, yeah. First of July was as soon as we could go up there, and then we were supposed to come out 15th of September.
And where would you take them then? Back here to Rosita?
Back here, and then trailed them on down there where we're at now.
When it got warmer, and when it got real cold, you took them down toward where
Swallows,
you are now.
Swallows, called it, yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, where?
Swallows.
Swallows. That's what the area you're in now is called? Swallows?
Well, the dam, the Pueblo Dam covers all of my farmland that I have down there.
and made him move.
Oh, uh-huh. So that was all. Is that where you are down that far now?
Or we're not to the river.
We're right up next to the highway now. When they run us out down there, I built that house that I'm living in down there now in 1971. And we just couldn't bring ourselves to pull up and move. And it was 71 before we ever moved into the new house.
Mm-hmm.
But then they give us a certain time to get out.
And so that's all underwater for you?
Well, they've never had water over at one time. Water's a long ways from it. Now, I swore when they took the place away from us, they'd never have water up there, but they did. They mm-hmm. made a liar out of me.
Rex, was it your great-grandparents that came to this area?
Yeah.
And what was your great-grandfather's name on your mother's side?
My great... I sure don't know what...
How about your father's side?
I don't know really as much about my father's side as I did my mother's side.
All right. Well, then give me as far back as you can remember. What was your grandfather's name on your mother's side?
On my mother's side?
Mm-hmm.
B.D.
B.D. Payne?
Uh-huh. B.D. Payne. They always called him old B.D.
P-A-Y-N-E?
P-A-Y-N-E, yeah.
And do you know why he came to this area?
No, I don't. He's just looking for new territory. He came from New Jersey to start with.
And what did he do when he came here, when he got here?
Well, right off the bat, I guess he wasn't too long till he opened up that store there in Rosita. And then he hauled ore and stuff from the Bassick Mine and all these ore mines around here. He hauled ore for a good long time. I guess he'd done that before he started the store.
He had a freight company?
No, just...
A wagon?
Just a wagon and four horses.
Uh-huh. How many children were in your mother's side of the family?
Two. Just my mother and her brothers.
And did a brother stay in this area?
Oh, he stayed in this area for a long time. He lived over in Corita. And then he finally moved to Canyon City after a while. And then he wound up moving out into Utah, and he worked in mines all the time. Mm-hmm. And that's where he died, is out in Utah.
Are your grandparents buried here?
Just my grandmother is all that's buried here.
Are your grandmother paying?
Yeah, that's something else. Mm-hmm. I guess all my other... on the cliff side, I don't know, they was all buried there in Rosita, and they just put up a little old rock for each one of them, and there's graves on top of all of them now. There was, I don't know, at one time they had scarlet fever. They lived in Creed at the time, and I don't know, there was seven or eight of them died within 2 weeks of one another.
This was their children, or... just
was,
people in the family.
It was my dad's sisters and brothers that died, and his mother died all at the same time.
Do you remember what year that was?
Oh, gosh, no.
What I'm saying is maybe we can find something in the newspaper sometime.
Well, I don't know. I don't know. They had a... Well, the whole family, I guess, was sick at the same time, and... About 2/3 of them died.
And they're buried in Rosita Cemetery?
Mm-hmm.
Are they?
And I don't know how it come, but they never were any stones or anything put up, but there's graves dug on top of all of them there now.
Uh-huh. Is your father buried and your mother buried there also?
They're not there. They're buried up on top of the hill.
But they're in Rosita Cemetery?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. They're right up on top of the hill. Where my wife is.
Uh-huh. When you want to ask some questions, go right ahead.
Okay.
Right.
Um,
What type of house did you live in when you lived in Rosita? Or you were born in Rosita, and then you went to Carita. Do you remember anything about your home there?
Not in Rosita, because it burnt down before I got big enough to remember anything. And of course, I remember the house that we lived over there in Carita. It was, it was a five-room house, I guess. And then it had a cellar dug into the hill where they kept their groceries and stuff.
Is this the house up here?
No, he's talking about in Carita.
Oh, okay.
His father was a miner in Carita.
And did you ever actually live on that homestead that's right behind Phyllis Smith's? The lower homestead there.
Did I live there?
Uh-huh.
No.
Oh,
I was there a little, but not to mount anything. Not before I was ever married or anything. I lived there a while with the folks. But I've always lived up on that other, my dad's homestead.
So this was the one that, the old homestead was your grandfather's. Your grandfather built that?
Yeah, he built that house and everything when he filed on that. I don't know. Of course, I've got all those deeds and everything. I could find it out when it was filed on and everything like that, both places. Because I have all the deeds and everything, but they're in the safety deposit box in Canyon.
Mm-hmm. Did he come out here to homestead? Where did he come from? Is this the one that came?
Who?
Cliff.
Oh, I don't really know. They came from Kentucky to start with, and there was a good big family of them, and they landed in the valley down there.
Do you know where in Kentucky they came from?
No, I don't.
Okay.
All I know is that they came from Kentucky.
Uh-huh.
And then my granddad, he run a sawmill over there by Carita for several years. And that house that I've got up there, he sawed the lumber that that's built out of.
And so did he, his old homestead, did he build that?
Well, that was my granddad I was talking about that was in the sawmill business then. But afterwards, my dad, he got in the sawmill business and run a sawmill for 2 or 3 years over on the Antelope. But my granddad, run that sawmill for a long time, and I don't know what else that he ever did do, because he died before I was very old.
Where did they get their logs from when they would run a sawmill?
Over there around Carita, there used to be quite a lot of timber in around through there.
That's why I asked that question, because someone said that there was a lot of timber around the Rosita area and also the Carita area, and of course there's none there now.
Yeah, well,
so they cut all those
there
down?
Used to be a lot of timber around over some of those hills aside. We just covered with timber, you know, and they cut them out.
For the houses and for the mines?
Yeah.
Used in the mines?
Yeah, all that I know of happened in the lumber that my granddad saw this that house. He built a house in Carita, and then my folks, they bought the house from him and tore it down and took it out there and built it up there.
So that old homestead that's there now, that was your grandfather's?
No, that's my dad's homestead.
That's your dad's?
Where this.
Okay, that was moved from Carita?
No, well, it was torn down and moved in pieces.
In pieces?
Yeah.
Because there's some, the boards are nice cut boards. And I noticed all of the, there's nice work around the windows.
Well,
that's not the upper place, right?
We're talking about the lower place.
Oh, I'm talking about the lower place.
That's his grandfather.
Well,
okay.
The upper one is his father's.
Okay.
And that's the one that my granddad sawed the lumber for that house.
Mm-hmm.
And it was built in 1913.
And when was your grandfather's built?
Oh, I don't know. That was built in 1800 sometime or other, latter part of the 1800s.
So he came and he homesteaded it?
Yeah.
How many acres did he homestead?
640.
Did he section that all out at once?
Well, to start with, he filed on 320. That's all you could get at the time. And then they kept adding on until every time they give a new piece of ground out that you could file on, well, he filed on it and got wound up with 640 acres. That's as much as was ever allowed to file on, you know. And but to start with, 160 acres is what he filed on first.
And then did you have to, I know they talk about proving up on it. You had to do many improvements.
They had to build a cabin on it and supposed to plow up so much land within 3 years. And if they done that and was living on the place, then they could prove up on it. But you had to have a place that's fit to live in and some corrals and stuff like that, you know, before you could prove up on it. Of course, a lot of them didn't have it, but they said they had it.
They raised potatoes up there.
How much of the land was put into potatoes?
Oh, I don't know. I suppose we maybe 40, 50 acres altogether. We used to pile in little narrow patches.
That old cellar
that's up there, both places, we used to fill them things every fall with potatoes. But it got to where we couldn't, it got so dry and then got colder. And the last potatoes that we planted up there, we didn't even get our seed back.
Because it got too cold?
Well, it was cold and dry.
Did you raise other things besides potatoes?
Oh, yeah, we raised lettuce and peas.
And where would you take them into West Cliff?
Yeah, they had a lettuce shed there in West Cliff for several years there, and we hauled our lettuce in there with team and wagon. I took a load of lettuce in there one time, and boy, they just told me I didn't have hardly anything coming. And so the next load I went in with, they started calling it, and when I got it called, I started loading it up, and they always said, you don't have to take that, load that up. He said, we'll take care of it. No, I said, I'm damned if you'll take care of it. I said, I'm going to take it home and feed it to my pigs.
Because you didn't get that much from it.
Huh?
Because you didn't get that much from it.
Well, they were just throwing it out on me, you know. It wasn't worth paying for. And so I loaded it up and took it back home. And the next load of lettuce I took in, I didn't have a call. What they was doing was culling that, and then after I left, well, they crated it and sold it.
Oh.
Had to be, because I never had any more, and I was taking the same kind of lettuce all the time, and it had to be that because they didn't cull me anymore.
Then would they put it on the train?
Yeah. Yeah, they loaded whole carloads of it there for several years down there, and then, I don't know, the climate changed so bad that nobody could raise lettuce or potatoes or anything anymore to mount anything.
We didn't get it. There wasn't as much rainfall? Is that what happened?
Well, no. It just kept getting a little drier and a little drier, and it seemed like it was getting colder all the time. I don't know. It just didn't work.
Is it the same way now? Do you think it's... Are we colder now, or...?
Oh, it's a lot colder and 10 times drier than it used to be. Lord golly, back 20 years ago or 30 years ago, you'd have had snow clear up to your neck coming back in here.
So it's mostly snow, not rainfall. It was mostly snow that you weren't getting.
Well, we used to have, heck, when I was a kid, you could plan on getting wet every damn day after the 4th of July until September. It rained every day.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Did you ever have any encounters with Indians that were still in the area?
No, there were no Indians here when I was around. There was one old Indian, too, that lived over there at Corita. That he made Earl and I a bow and arrow one time. We used to go and visit him, and I ate some bear meat with him one time when I was just a little kid. I can't remember what it was like. We used to go up there and visit him. He made us, Earl and I, both a bow and arrow. And I don't know why I didn't keep that, but then it didn't mean nothing then, you know.
And how many are in your family? You? And you had a brother?
I had two brothers.
Uh-huh.
I'm the only one left.
And what was their name?
Earl and Clinton.
And did they both live around this area?
Well, for a long time, but finally Clinton, he moved over to Natarita, and Earl, my older brother, he died in Idaho.
Were they also miners?
No. They were both in sheep business for quite a long time, but they both went broke, and then they both went into trucking business, and
did you say you were married?
Oh, yeah, 29 and a half years.
Do you have any children?
No.
Did you?
We raised several, but...
Well, where did you get the children you raised?
Well, this nephew of mine lives out in Oregon. He come every year. They lived in Denver, Neva's sister. And the next day after school was out, well, he was on his road here, and then he wouldn't go home until just the day before school.
So he helped you with your...
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he was good to help. But a lot of the others that I had around was just kind of a nuisance.
And your wife, when did your wife die?
September the 9th. 1987.
And she's buried in Rosita, did you say?
How long did you say you was married?
59 and... Oh,
okay.
He said 29.
29.
I said 29?
Yeah.
Well, I was going to say, Rick.
Well,
I knew it was longer than that.
Lord.
59 years.
59 and a half, pretty near to half.
Mm-hmm. Were you and your wife married in Rosita?
No, we was married in Colorado Springs.
Where'd you meet her?
At a dance in Rosita.
Where? What was her maiden name?
Pruitt.
Neva
Pruitt.
And did she grow up around this area?
She grew up in Canyon.
And then moved, were her family living here when?
They lived in Canyon, yeah. They come from... Missouri, I believe.
So what was she?
She was just a little kid. They come to Canyon, and her dad was a gardener. And she worked in the bank, the first Fremont County Bank for a while, and then she got a job with a lawyer there in town, was stenographer for that lawyer. That's what she's doing in Weber, Maryland.
And what was she doing at a dance in Rosita?
Well, her sister, Gladys, was teaching school in Rosita. And she came up there to visit her sister. And I forget now who it was, that gave the dance. They gave a dance there in Rosita. And of course, my brother and I and a friend that was staying with us, we was batching up here at the time then. We went to the dance, and I guess that set it off.
We didn't miss no dances over there.
Did they have their dances in the schoolhouse, or was there churches, or?
Right there where Hobby lives, used to be the post office right close there, you know. And then
mm-hmm.
there was place right across the road, the dance hall. An old guy, Jess Putman, had his place there, and he had one room where he lived, and then he had this dance hall and pool hall. And they used to have dances there right along. We'd just have some big old times. I rode horseback from the ranch over here clear to Wetmore to a dance.
Tell him about the time you were sick.
Huh?
He said one time he was sick and then wanted to go to a dance and didn't figure out how he was going to be well enough to go. Tell him what happened.
Yeah, some Spohn's distemper medicine for horse.
What was it called? Bones?
Spohn's.
Yeah. How do you spell that?
S-P-O-U-H-N, isn't it?
O-U-H-N?
Isn't that how it is?
I think
on the bottle. He's still got the bottle up there.
And I took a half a horse dose of that.
You're curing or killing.
And I went to the dance.
It's all right, huh?
Yeah, it worked.
It's probably 50% alcohol in it or something.
He figured that he'd rather just, you know, be dead than to miss the dance if it killed him, then he wouldn't worry about it.
It was sure good. It knocked stemper out of a horse, nothing flies.
It's got pine tar and camphor.
And I don't suppose you could
even
get it.
What do you think was the matter with you?
Huh?
What was the matter with you?
Well, I just had an awful cold on my chest, and I don't know, I suppose at that time, or nowadays they'd have called it flu, I don't know, but I had it, I was all choked up and had a heck of a cold, but I sure knocked it.
What other kinds of remedies did they have for curing sicknesses?
Well, most generally just Epsom salts and mentholatum or something like that to rub on your chest.
Epsom salts? I know you soak your feet in it now. Do you?
Well, that's what we did then.
Yeah.
Too. So and put a poultice on your chest.
Poultice on your chest.
Yeah.
You didn't drink it though. Epsom salts.
Oh, good gosh, yes, and Carter's.
You drank it too. Epsom salts.
Oh yeah, and Carter's little liver pills. You ever heard of them?
Yeah.
They're still around. They make your urine blue or something.
Yeah. God, I used to hate them things.
What would you take that for? Just to get feeling kind
for
of cute?
For your cold.
For a cold.
Cure up your cold, yeah.
Was there any kind of herbs that you can remember you used in the...
No, we didn't.
Slippery
elm bark.
Yep.
I had that.
Slippery elm.
Once in a while.
That's a good stomach medicine.
Now, is that something that grows around here now?
No, I don't know where it grows, where it comes from, but you can buy it.
You go to the drugstore and get that?
Yeah.
Do you remember Merriam's drugstore in Westcliff?
Yeah. Well, old man Merriam used to, if he made a sale and was charging it or anything, he'd just write it down in his hand, and then he said that way he never forgot it. He could remember to mark it down after the guy left.
You know, we have some of the medicines and things that were from Merriam's drugstore. They sent that's in Fairplay now.
Yeah.
And they sent us some of those things. Mm. So you remember, do you remember Sue Canda's father, or do you remember the grandfather?
Who?
Well, Sue Canda's father was Merriam.
Yeah.
And then there was the grandfather. Do you remember the grandfather?
No, I don't, but I remember.
You remember her father?
Yeah.
And so would you buy some of those kinds of things in there, like slippery elm or whatever this is?
Well, that's where we bought everything that we had to have, any medicine or anything, at Marion's drugstore.
Where was that located at?
That was, that was located where the Shining Mountains is right now. The drugstore was there. Do you remember your grandfather's drugstore in Rosita? I mean, he didn't have a drugstore, he had a grocery store?
Yeah, it was a general store. It had a few hardware articles and stuff like shovels and rakes and stuff like that he had, and then mostly groceries. And he carried kerosene. You'll see in that book there where he sold a gallon of kerosene, I think, 15 cents.
And where was that located?
Huh?
Where was that store located?
Well, where the road comes down here in Rosita and this one comes here, it's right here.
Is that like on the left-hand side, right-hand side of the road?
As you're coming into Rosita, going out from here would be the left-hand side.
The left-hand side.
Mm-hmm. There's an old piece of the cellar still there.
So it's over there near what they call the assay office now.
Right.
Isn't there a building that's there now that they say is an assay?
Well, it's right close, just across the road from where that used to be a filling station. That level.
Okay, so it's across the road from there.
Mm-hmm.
And you can, when you go, when you leave, you go toward Rosita, you can see that.
Yeah, it's about all covered up now.
There.
Byers, he put a lid over the thing and had a cellar there for a while, but that's all caved in now.
What happened to the building? Did it burn down or get torn down?
It was torn down. It was a stone building. We've got quite a lot of the stone out there for the ranch that come out of that building.
People, when they decided they would move a building or tear it down and use the material.
Well, I don't know. I don't remember now what become of the roof and all of that, but stones, just different ones, hauled it off.
Mm-hmm. Do you remember any of the churches in Rosita?
No.
They were gone when you were there?
No, I don't remember. We weren't around Rosita too much I don't know how old I was when the folks moved to Carita, but I put in most of my younger years there in Carita.
Where was the schoolhouse there? Was it a...
In Carita?
Mm-hmm. Was it a brick building or...
No, it was a frame building. It was a big, long building. I don't know. It must have been 14 by 50. It was a big, long deal. And it burnt down. I don't know what caused it to burn, but... Whether somebody set a fire or what.
And you could take, like, from her house to town, going across.
Well,
just do it, I guess, huh?
We used to just take off and go. It doesn't trail or nothing. We used to.
There's not a wagon trail or anything?
No.
When, on that old homestead of your grandfather's, did they used to come out through Stella's or go the other way?
Well, years ago, that road used to go across through the, you know where that turn is to go up to, through Blumenau?
Yeah.
Well, when you turn in there, the road used to go right straight on across over to the place. It used to be a county road over through there.
Over through Blumenau.
And then, I don't know, that crossing there kept washing out. Well, there was two big washers that we had to cross going around there. And it just kept washing out, so we finally just started going around.
And he was saying that there was a road that goes through Blumenau.
Oh.
From that place.
One time, the old guy that lived there where Stella Smith lived, old Charcoal Barker, I don't know what his really name was, called him Charcoal Barker.
Why did you call him that?
Oh, that's
maybe you sold it. Did you sell it?
But anyhow, that went right through the edge of his place up there, you know. Or I don't know, he wanted to shut it off for some reason or other. And he put a fence across there, and my granddad, he'd come along and tear it off. One day he was tearing the fence off, and old Barker, he took two shots at him. But he just went ahead and tore the... He just shot those shots right around close to him, but he didn't pay any attention to that. He went ahead and tore the fence down and went on through.
Doctors. Do you remember any doctors in Rosita?
Doctors? No. No, I don't. There was no business in Rosita that I got to remember, only the post office. And Mrs. Hunt run the post office, and she had coffee and sugar and stuff like that, so if anybody, tobacco especially. One time we was snowed in up there for about 3 weeks and couldn't get out at all, but we run out of tobacco, so we went to Rosie and got tobacco.
How did you get there?
Horseback. Come right across, straight across through the hills there.
Mm-hmm. You weren't worried about the coffee, just the tobacco.
Just the tobacco. Yeah, back then days, you'd tear a house down to get your hang cigarettes, you know.
What was that you smoked?
Bull Durham.
He said they come in their little pouches, and he said he even made a quilt out of them. Pouches of that. He said he don't never know what happened to it, but she made a quilt out of them.
They were like a kind of a little burlap kind of thing.
Yeah.
I know, my father used to smoke Bull Durham.
Yeah.
I know how to roll a mean cigarette.
Neva made a quilt top out of the dang thing, so you can tell what I smoke.
Had a lot of them. Well, they're just pieces about like that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I don't know what the heck ever become of that. Somebody needed it worse than we did, I guess.
You know, you tell me about the when you put the chipmunk in the school marm's desk. What was her name?
Oh, shucks, I hate to tell that.
Sure.
You know where, Les Schultz, where he used to live out there, there used to be about a mile west of there, there used to be a schoolhouse over in there, and we went to school there, and Miss Boyle, she never was married, but, anyhow, we'd always go down in the, bunch of us boys would go down in the creek to eat our lunch, and we had three or four chipmunks. They was right there to eat lunch with us every day. They'd get in their lunch buckets, you know, and pick out what they wanted to eat. So one day we just took one of the little buggers up, put in the drawer of her desk, and she opened her desk, of course, that chipmunk come out, you know, and she ran over backwards, went clear over, dress up over, and of course the whole school just really had a ball on him.
Who did you go to school with over there in Antelope Valley?
Oh, there was the Pilches and the Abbots and Lawrences. I guess that's all. Vickerman's. Bill Vickerman, he went to school there.
Mm-hmm. Did they all have ranches around there?
Well, Abbots did. Abbots was there where Les Schultz lived. And Rice was on up above it.
So were your
and Lawrence's was down this way from it, you know.
Were your folks living over in that area then? Or
were living up there on that place where I live now.
Yeah, so you had a walk?
Yeah, we walked there all the time.
How many miles was that?
About three and a half, something like that.
And then when you got older, did you ride a horse? Or?
No, we always walked.
How long would that do? What time would you have to be there at a certain time? You'd have to be there at a certain time, though, in the morning.
Had to be there at 9 o'clock.
How time did you have to leave your house?
Oh, we'd leave about 7:30, something like that.
So you went to school in the summer instead of the winter?
Yeah.
Because of the weather?
Well, the snow and stuff up here used to in the wintertime. You couldn't have got 3 or 4 miles to school in time.
Yeah,
but we always... Well, up to fourth grade, I went to school every summer.
Did you?
3 months school.
Did you have electricity in your house?
Oh, gosh, no. We didn't have no. I don't know. We didn't have electricity up here until. Gosh, I can't remember now. It must have been around 55, 56, something like that.
Telephone. Did you ever bring telephone in there?
Never have had a telephone up here.
How about, so of course you had an outhouse.
Oh, yeah, we had an outhouse.
And don't have water in the house up there. You have to bring it from the well.
It's running water.
Yeah, but I said you have to bring it from the well.
Run it up to the house.
You run back and get it, you run back.
How far was it a wet, was it a pump?
Still
it. Still it. How far away from the house was that?
100 yards.
Up the steep hill.
And how far was the outhouse away from?
About the same distance.
No, it's not quite as far as the spring, I don't
think. Seems
like
when you're walking on ice, it is.
But we've changed it from where it used to be. It used to be up above the house, and then we finally put it off down below the house.
So when it got really, when it snowed and it was really deep snow, the first one that needed to use the outhouse had to get shoveled.
Yeah.
Cross country ski?
Well, I guess you'd call it cross country.
Would you make your own skis?
Huh?
Would you make your own skis?
Yeah. We had one factory made set of skis, and then we made two pair of skis. There were three out of four of us. And we had all homemade skis except that one pair that we bought, and then we patterned after them and made it. And they worked just as good as the bought ones.
Would you use snowshoes, too?
No, we never
just
did have
skis.
Any snowshoes.
They were harder to make.
Yeah.
Probably. Recreation. What did you do for recreation?
Worked.
That's not, I get that same thing. And dances.
Oh,
dances
yeah.
were really your yeah. recreation. Mostly.
Yeah, we didn't miss any dances back then.
Did they have anything like pie socials or?
Oh, yeah.
Or where they would?
Yeah, one time in Rosita, I bought a pie and it was made of salt.
They did that for a joke?
Yeah.
When did you find out it was salt?
When I tried to eat it.
Were you already home?
Huh?
Were you already home?
No, I was opening it right there at the dance. That's what you were supposed to do. You're supposed to buy your gal's pie, you know. And then they had one that they didn't know whose it was, and I bid on it and got it, and it was that salt pie.
Probably one of the gals you kept out till 5 o'clock in the morning. Her mom probably made it.
There you go. Did they ever have what they call box socials, where you would buy the whole box and
eat with the
gal?
My dad used to auctioneer those box socials a lot.
Would you know what was in it?
Well, not till you bought it, but there was usually good food in it when they bought.
Did they decorate them?
Oh, yeah, they was all fixed up real fancy and everything.
And would you know whose it was then?
Well, they had whoever made it or whoever box it belonged to had her name on the top of it, you know. When you bought it and you seen whose name it was, well, then that was the gal you were supposed to eat supper with.
No, so you really didn't care what was in the, in the box social. Let's see what else. Oh, how about the Depression? Where were you when they had the Depression?
Right up here.
In Rosita.
And we ate deer meat, the only kind of meat we had. We had the sheep then. And had a few cows, but we couldn't afford to butcher one or anything. So every fall we'd go out and get our winter's meat. And we'd kill four or five deer the first good big snow would come, so we could track them. And then we just, what they call hog dressing them, got them, you know. And we'd wrap them in burlap and take them off the timber up there and hang them up on the north side of that tree. And they'd stay froze all the time. And whenever we got one eat up and needed another, and we'd just go out and get it and bring it in and put it in the cellar overnight. And next morning it'd be thawed out so you could skin it.
Did your lifestyle change that much during the Depression?
Did what?
Did your lifestyle change that much during the Depression up here?
No, not too much. Of course, we got to where we didn't kill deer all the time. I'd have season and everything, but...
Did you have to have a hunting license then? Or would they just let you kill things on your own
they
land?
They didn't let us. We just done it.
You just did it.
Yeah.
But were there hunting licenses then?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, there was hunting license, but there was 3 days hunting license. But at that time, it was too early, and you was only allowed one. But we'd get our winter's meat the first good snow would come. And
wouldn't any animals get that hanging in the tree?
Mm-mm.
They would just...
The only thing you had to watch about was to keep the magpies. That's the reason we wrapped the burlaps around it, keep the magpies. They'd eat it up if they could get to it.
Mm-hmm.
We kept the burlap on it and kept the magpies off, and that's all. We'd hang it right up in the tree, you know, quite a ways.
Did you raise chickens? And?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, we had
and your beef.
But then it was cold and all in the wintertime. They didn't lay in the wintertime. They just laid in the summertime.
During the war, were you in any of the wars?
Was I what?
Were you in any of the wars?
No.
Were your brothers?
No. I had some nephews in it, but none of my brothers. I had to sign up for the draft and all, you know, and I got my papers back and my classification or whatever it was, and I was in the filling station down there at Westcliff one day at Hanson Run at them. I was telling them about getting my walking papers, and I said, I don't know when they'll take me, and I can't think of that guy's name, you know, but anyhow, I said, oh, hell, he said, you don't need to worry. He said, I have to take all the women and children, then they'll get you.
Did they defer you because of the being a rancher?
I'm kind of being a rancher, yeah.
Uh-huh. And your brothers, too?
Yeah.
Did you ever feel like you were deprived of anything as a kid?
No.
You felt like it was a pretty good life?
I had a good life always. I guess we was considered the honorest bunch of kids in the country.
You had to be.
What did you do so honorary?
Oh.
Sound like you worked hard.
Well, we did. We, in the fall, we always helped dig potatoes by hand and pick them up and all that stuff. But I don't know. That Miss Boyle that taught over there at Antelope, I don't know. I always did feel kind of sorry for her the way we treated her.
How far apart were you boys?
Well, there's about 16 months between my older brother and me. And then there was, Clinton was 5 years younger than I was.
Oh, uh-huh. So you're the middle one.
Mm-hmm.
And so why did you feel sorry for her?
Well, the way we treated her, we just... one day there was a flood coming down the creek, and the Earl, that was my older brother, he was some of the... Bill Vickerman and Sam, and some of them that was a little younger than he was, but he was... made out like he's going to throw him in the flood, you know. And Miss Ball come running down there. He grabbed her and shoved her off.
She probably never got cool again after that.
What would she do when you did all that? I mean, what was your punishment? What was your punishment?
None. We were just too danged ornery. And,
you didn't. You never sat in the corner or anything? Or... You had to stay after school? Or?
No, it was too far from home to stay after school or anything. The teacher had to get off to school.
She had to go home too.
Yeah.
So she just kind of put up with you?
She just put up with us and made the best of it, I guess. A bird, and we brought it up and turned it loose in school room.
Did they have any kind of programs at the school?
Nothing, only just your lessons and stuff like that.
I mean, like at Christmas, did you have to say a piece or ever have to sing a song? Or?
No, we didn't have any of that. What's the matter with you?
Where are they?
Columbia's.
The white-faced one?
Mm-hmm. I did have black faces there for a while.
Still got a few years here, black faces. I used to have some separate students.
I don't like them burgers, so I got the white face again.
What kind did you have up here?
Columbia's. Well, to start with, we had a Rambouillet. And then we started crossing them with the Columbia's, and finally got just straight Columbia's.
Did your wife spin and card and weave and all that with the wool?
No.
Did you sell the wool?
Yeah, always sold it.
Where would you sell it?
Well, different places. A lot of times we sold it right there in Pueblo. There's an outfit that had it in Pueblo, and then several times we've taken it to Denver and over to Center. Just first one place and then another.
Where would you get your sheep when you first started raising them?
We bought them from old Tony Buside down at Gardner.
They had a lot of sheep down there?
They did at that time. There isn't many as down in that country now, but at that time, pretty much everybody had a little band of sheep. But old Tony, he had, he must have had 3,000 or 4,000 head around. He had them leased out and everything. And we bought 300 head from the old burger. In the spring of the year, well, we bought them in May, and we were supposed to have bought ewes that was going to bring lambs. And we bought 300 head, and I think we had about 50 lambs, a whole bunch. I think what he'd done, he was about through lambing when we bought him. And I think anyone that lost a lamb or anything, he put it off and herded together.
Mm-hmm.
And we went, and of course we didn't know anything about sheep or anything, and we just went down there and bought them. We give $12 a head for those dang sheep. Mm-hmm. In May in 29, and heck, that fall you couldn't have sold them for $5. Well, we had a rough time there to keep going.
Was there a conflict between cattle ranchers and sheep ranchers? Did you see in the movies?
Nothing like that. No, we never did have that.
That's not what they tell me.
We never did have that trouble with cattlemen.
He had a few down yonder where my folks are that give him some.
Now, where are your folks?
Down where
he lives now. Up here, now see if I'm, correct me or tell me if I'm right. It seemed to me like, we discussed this before you came, that they had the sheep ranchers ran their sheep up into the timber, and the cattlemen had the plain.
On government land, that's right.
Yeah. So they really didn't interfere with one another. I mean, you didn't put a bunch of...
It's just getting them from that place to this
to the other place.
Was the main problem, it sounded like to me, was
herding them and...
But they told me that Rex was so tough when he was little, nobody messed with him anyway.
When he wants to have sheep, he can have that.
That's right.
You can have anything you want.
Well, that's what they told me, all the old timers down there said. He was a man he just didn't mess with.
Well, one time we really had a good one here in Rosita, a dance. One night everybody was poking everybody that come close.
Why did they do that?
Just a little too much bootleg, I guess.
Oh, you had bootleg here. Who made bootleg?
Huh?
Who made bootleg?
I did.
You still got it still, but it's all in different pieces.
You made your own? What'd you make it out of?
It was pure corn that was made out of sugar. But I also sold just pure corn whiskey. I'll tell you a good one. I had a banker down there in the canyon that he was good for about a gallon a week. And I took him a gallon one day and took a taste of it, and my God, he said, that's kind of raw, ain't it? Well, I said, it's probably a month or 2 months old. God, that's just awful, he said. Well, I said, I've got another gallon out here that I brought down for another guy that's 5 years old. But I said, it'll cost you more money. I'll get $10 a gallon for it then. And I said, it'll cost you $14 for that gallon. Well, he said, bring it in, let me see it. And so I went out and drove around a little while with younger brother and I, Clinton. And we put some more coloring in it, made it a little bit darker, and brought it back in. And boy, now he said, that's more like it.
What did you color it with?
Burnt sugar. And you give $4 a gallon more for just that little teaspoonful of burnt sugar.
Because he thought it was aged?
How many years did you do that?
All during the Depression. That's how we live.
I see. Wasn't the sheep at all.
But no, we wasn't making anything out of the sheep. We had to halfway support the sheep out of that.
So all during the Depression and then Prohibition. Did they come after you ever out here? Did you ever have any government men come after you?
No, never had no. We used to punish the sheriff there in Canyon. But we never did sell nothing less than a gallon. We never did sell it in bottles or anything. That's where you get in trouble. Well, that's what we figured anyhow.
And oh, the smaller bottles.
Yeah. Whenever you start pinting, quart and like that, we always just made it a point that just if they didn't buy a gallon, they couldn't get it.
Were there other people around here that sold it too?
That you sold it to.
No, were there other people around here who were bootlegging too?
Oh, yeah.
Also?
Yeah, there's a guy by the name of Jack Gay over in Corita. He was making them. Shorty Robinson, he was making
them. Wasn't there a woman in Rosita too?
Huh?
Wasn't there a woman in Rosita too
that was making it? A woman?
No.
Warren Morgan told
me. Mrs. Smith over there on where Stella lived, she made it.
Her mother-in-law.
Her mother-in-law, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what she told me.
Oh, so she was making it, too.
Yeah, she... I don't know, somebody said that they pour lye in there still to make it cook quicker. But I don't know why that would make it cook any quicker. But,
you just had to make it and then age it. Put
no,
it in
no, we made it and sold it.
Aged.
A lot of times we'd have an order for it and we'd run it off one night and that morning we'd take it and deliver it.
Well, what they were doing is drinking pure alcohol, huh?
Well, we never sold anything that did test out of 100 proof.
Huh.
This stuff you get now, 86 proofs, about as much as you can get. We never sold anything under 100.
So you knew Mr. Putman?
Was
a miner?
That's the guy that had the post-star or the dance hall there in Rosie.
Uh-huh. And so they would serve drinks and there too?
No, he didn't. Oh, he sold some pop and stuff like that there,
uh-huh.
But he didn't sell any whiskey.
Who would play for your dances? Kind of, what would you use for
Well, Rob and Alfred Abbott and then cousins of mine, Roy and Richard McKinnon, they played around for dances.
And Rex called the square dancers.
You did?
Oh, yeah, mm-hmm. I used to call square dances, and we used to have broom dance. That was a lot of fun.
One person had to answer the broom.
Yeah. Whenever you saw a gal you wanted to dance with, I'd give the guy the
broom.
Boom. Well, you'd have a lot of fun. Some guys get mad. And... Mm-hmm.
So they would have a lot of square dances. Is that mostly the kind of dances you did?
No, they had waltzes and foxtrots and two steps.
Would you advertise we're having a dance or just kind of by word of mouth?
Just by word of mouth.
Was there a special time you had it, like every Saturday night or...
Oh, no.
Yes.
Well, maybe once or twice a month we'd have a dance.
You just decide we're all getting together and we're going to do this.
Yeah.
And you didn't have any telephones, so how would you know, how would you just see each other on the street?
See somebody and tell them, hey, we're going to have a dance Saturday night. Or maybe at the dance they'd announce when they're going to have the next one or something like that.
I hear the kids a lot of times say they're bored today. Did you ever think you were bored?
I never knew what that was.
You never knew what that word was?
No, never heard of it until just lately.
They think about being bored and they'd go get a bull and watch a bullfight.
Oh, you'd watch a bullfight?
Oh, my brother and I, we used to, this all up through here used to be open country.
Uh-huh.
And there's everybody, there's cattle clear from Gardner and off down in there, up in here in the summertime. We'd drive a dang bull 10 miles to get to see a good bullfight.
You take it over to somebody else's herd and just...
His granddad.
Well, my granddad had a dadgum bull that he just lifted him along. We'd drive a bull anywhere to get to him to watch him whip it.
And then what would happen to the whipped bull?
Well,
Him back home?
No.
To the death?
Huh?
It was to the death of one or the other?
Oh, no. They just finally quit and wanted one. And we'd just go off and let him go back to where he belonged or let whoever owned him come and get him.
Okay,
get a fit. And we had a round corral up there. We'd run in a bunch of those dang horses, put them in a round corral, and one guy'd get out in the middle of the corral and get them horses started around, and then the other would jump on the horse and ride it down the corral. Quentin's wife crying. We had them just, they were sure we was going to get killed.
So you had your own rodeo.
Yeah, we had our own rodeo.
Did you ever go and do any rodeos in town?
Yeah, I've entered one rodeo down here in Westcliff one time, just for amateurs. And the only thing I won was a quart of whiskey.
Just what you needed.
I had a mare that was just about ready to have a colt. And I don't know, I went in down there, and of course they give us a number to put on our back, you know. And a friend of mine from down at Wetmore was there, Carl Dunsmore, and he said, Rex, what the hell are you going to do? And I said, well, they want one of these calves to run this corral down to that one, and I'm going to run one down for them. Well, he said, you can't catch nothing on that old mare. And I said, well, I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll bet you the best quart of whiskey you can buy in Westcliff that I won't say that I'll catch it, but I'll be close enough to catch it. My gosh, he said, I'll take that. And heck, I caught my calf and tied it for 17 seconds. And it went clear through the roof, and I got one hind foot. And there was a guy from down there close to where I live now, right close to Pueblo, is one of the judges, old Andy Alley, and we'd had a lot of trouble over the sheep and whatnot, and I didn't like him, and he had two kids or three, I don't know, entered in the deal, and all I was hoping for was to beat them, and I did, because neither one of them ever got close enough to catch their calf. But old Andy, he said the calf didn't go through the loop, but it did. It went through the loop, and I caught it to the hind leg. Still, I tied it in 17 seconds, and I'd have had the first deal if it hadn't been for him saying that it didn't go through the loop.
What year was that?
Oh, good gosh, I don't know that.
Was you married?
Oh, yeah.
Did you ever ride the railroad out of Westcliff?
Yeah, I rode that one time. I took a... The folks, they weren't mine at that time. There was the folks, they were shipping cattle to Denver. And I rode the caboose from Westcliff to Denver. And there was a couple of old guys from down Walsenburg on the train too, and they were both bald-headed, and we was riding that booth, and we went up, well, we got up just about to Palmer Lake, you know. I thought now them, they'd laid down on the benches and was asleep, and their heads were just about up for. And I was just tickled pink, because I knew when we started down, you know, there would be a, because I'd rode that train before, there'd be quite a jug when they put the brakes on. And I figured them old guys about dead. Not dying inductor, he come along and woke them up. So it spoiled my whole trip.
You are hungry.
Tell them about the time that you and your brothers tied the steers together. Put bed springs on them.
We got a bunch of steers in up there at the ranch one time. The folks were gone.
Okay.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we tied three of them together, their tails and their heads, then put a set of bed springs up on top of the steers. And then my older brother, Earl, he got on and told Clinton and I to open the gate. And we opened the gate. Turned it out. He didn't go no distance, so how in the devil he got down in underneath the springs and in between the steers, I don't know.
You could have killed him.
He finally fell out, and they tromped on him a little. But we was the rest of the day getting there. Finally, it come off that one steer just had a bread spring tied to him, and it took us the rest of the day to get him in to get the bed spring off.
I thought your mother had fun with you boys.
Oh, yeah, she did.
Okay, the teacher didn't punish you. What did your mom do?
She had a board about that long, and handle and holes bored in it. And she really poured on us every once in a while. Once in a while, she'd give us a choice if we wanted her to whip us or the dad, and of course, we'd take him. He wouldn't hardly feel it, but we'd holler and hoop like we were being killed.
But she really would. She'd really give it to you.
She'd really pour it on, yeah.
Mom
and by golly, that beat anything I ever saw. When she's mad, she wouldn't whip us. But she'd say, I'm going to whip you at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock. For a while there, you thought, well, she'll forget it. But come 3 o'clock, you got it.
She let you think about it for a while, huh?
Mm-hmm. Would she make her own butter and things like that?
Oh, yeah. Bread and butter, and we had her own eggs. And
how about clothes? Did she make her own clothes?
Well, she made a lot of them, yeah. And patched her clothes. A lot of times we get about all patches.
Different colors of everything, huh?
Yeah.
You have your mother's old side saddle?
Mm-hmm. She won it on the horse race.
And where was that at?
Custer City.
Tell me about Custer City.
Well, all I know about it is that horse race. There used to be a lot of buildings and stuff up in there, but they were celebrating the opening of Custer City, and they had this 4th of July celebration up there, and they had this side saddle, and they put it up for a horse race prize, and she won it, and I've still got it.
Did she ride side saddle to win it?
Yeah.
And how many?
Yeah, that's the only way she and my grandmother ever rode was side saddle. It wasn't right for a woman to straddle a horse.
They always wore long dresses.
Yeah. Well, the dresses clear down to their ankles.
And, what I've known about Custer City was that was supposed to be a land development.
It was.
But it never really materialized.
No, it didn't go through. They built several houses and stuff up there, but well, right after that, the mine ran out of ore and everything started crumbling, and they never did go ahead and finish it or anything. There was several buildings up there, and they were celebrating a little early. It never did
Is that why it's called Custer County, because of that development?
No.
It was Custer County for how long?
Take
a chance to join them, but I didn't figure out wanted to do it. A friend of mine joined them for a little bit, but he didn't stay long.
The KKK came in this area and solicited people to join them?
Not up in here. The canyon is where they were headquartered, but I never knew of getting up around Westcliff or anywhere like that.
Were there a lot of lodges and things like that around here at one time? Like
no. Not that I know of.
Like some that were lodges for miners or
no, not
masons.
That I know of.
Masons.
Could I use your bathroom?
Sure.
Wait a minute. Let me. Your wife's sister's bathroom.
Oh. Frida. Frida, there was three of the girls. Neva and Gladys. Alma and Frida.
Four
of them. Neva was the oldest.
And then which one is Jim's mother?
Frida.
Frida.
She's the youngest one.
Now, who was digging these?
Huh?
Who was digging these holes?
Oh, Henry Hinges was his name.
And was he trying to find gold?
Oh, he had gold. He wasn't trying to find it. He had it.
He was finding it.
Yeah. They were all rich, but nobody knew how to assay it and get it out. There never was anything. We found some real good copper up there, that close to one of his holes, but it was just I don't know where it came from or how it got there, but it was just plumb rich copper, but it just played out and never get nothing out of it.
Did you ever go over to the Rainbow Trail and do any exploring up there?
Any
of the Cristos?
No.
Did you go over there very often?
Well, we used to run sheep up there above in North and South colonies.
Yeah.
In fact, we stocked those lakes in North Colony. We packed the fish in there with pack animals.
Oh.
Were you hired by the Forest Service or?
No, we just done it.
You just
they did? Wanted to get fish up there, and we told them we'd pack them up there, and so we did. And I don't think we lost fish.
You pack them in ice?
No.
Just put them in buckets?
They was in cream cans, 10-gallon cream cans.
Mm-hmm.
We had 6 10-gallon cream cans full that we took up there the first time. Well, that one time's all we ever took them up there, but they sure did do good in there.
Who wanted you to take them up there?
Well, the ranger down there, I can't think what his first name was. Truman was his last name, was the ranger at the time that we took him up there.
Did you know A.D. Hess that helped with the trail?
Yeah, I know him.
Tell me who named the hard scrabble.
Jim Pringle and Jack Essler and McGilliard.
And how did they name?
Well, they come up through the hard scrabble, and they was 10 days of coming up through there with team and wagon.
Now tell me who these men were. Who was Pringle?
Well, I don't know. Pringle's all I know about it. If he mined and everything here in Rosita for years.
So they were miners?
Yeah. Yeah, they were all miners, prospectors, they called them them days. But they, when they got up through the canyon and all, and they said, well, that is a damned hard scrabble. What? And they said, well, let's just call it hard scrabble. And that's what where it got its name is what I heard. But I used to, old man Pringle, he used to live right on the south side of Rosita up there on the hill. That hill right back of him is called Pringle Mountain. I don't know if anybody, well, he lived right on the north side of it there. And I used to haul wood Well, my brothers and I, we hauled him wood with team and wagon. Get $5 a load for a load of wood.
What would he do with that wood? For the mines?
No, for their house. That's what they have used for heat. Cooked, keep the house warm.
Oh, so you were hauling lumber mostly for wood, for burning.
Yeah, after dawn, just aspen poles is what we took him.
Mm-hmm.
He had a sawmill too. Rex did.
Rex did. Where would you get your pinion? I mean, where would you get your...
Logs right up there off the place.
Mm-hmm.
Up there at the upper place is where we got it. And then I have a school section leased there that I cut the timber off of it.
And that was aspen?
No, spruce and pine.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I never cut any aspen at all. It was all spruce and pine that I cut. I still got quite a pile of lumber up there.
So do you still sell that for burning?
Oh, no. No, that's good lumber. I just keep using a little of it. Here and there. She uses some.
I built my
porch
and my house with it.